It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this final day of May, 2023. It is the 31st day of May, 2023. This is The Horn, headon.live, where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And all time zones in between, and the great globe round, whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Thanks for listening live. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for listening to the rerun stream. Thanks for being part of this amazing little community. Thank you. And, of course, if you are listening live right now, you can always zip over to the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany and pick out a screen name and a password if you never have before, and you'll be immediately greeted by the early arrivers, Squeaky and New Jersey Nick and Irish Dave and Too Much Hutch. Hi. All capably moderated by longtime inveterate, and no, by Horn Chief Mathematician and Chief Agronomist and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon. It's Wednesday, so Sparky gets Wednesdays off because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Hi, I'm Robin. I did that part. Yeah, okay, good. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude because this network would not exist without the kindness of our community. So thanks very kindly. Thanks so very kindly to Vicky. Lori. I'm sorry. Lori, I am so sorry. I don't know where I got Vicky. Lori. In Michigan. Thank you. Thank you so much. Keep on keeping on, Robin. I'm going to try. And thank you as well to Cecilia. Thank you, Cecilia. And so what that means is, as far as finishing the month of May in terms of funding, well, that is a steep mountain to climb. And point of fact, let's see, do the obligatory on-the-fly ciphering. Thank you to Lori. Lori got us down to 1565, and Cecilia got us down to 1540. So basically, that's... a full broadcast week and a little bit more unfunded for the month of May. So we'll see what happens. It'd be nice if we could take some of that down and not be going into June with a big hole to fill in. But, well, here we are. And that having been said, again, thank you to our podcast subscribers. Thank you to PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thanks for liking the podcast and leaving a comment and sharing and subscribing and all those things that are helping to grow the program, and the program is growing. It's wonderful to see. And to those of you who are new to the program, welcome. And I hope you'll feel like you have a home here. And share your ideas and your thoughts. Yeah. Nominally, this is prayer meeting Wednesday, and maybe we'll get around to the prayer meeting stuff at some point in time. But the great debt ceiling debacle that no civilized country should have to deal with, and only we and I think one other country do, it continues. And we will get into that. I think, though, at least an interesting place to start is the fact that, according to CNN, Jack Smith's federal prosecutors are in possession of a heck of a recording. No. I'm not talking about it. No, they don't have a copy of the original Beatles Butcher cover album. No, they've got a recording of a meeting that took place in the summer of 2021, well after Nitwit Nero had decamped from having squatted for 4 years in the White House, and in the recording. Well, you know, for those of us of a certain age, maybe some of us even memorized the stories you were about to see are true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. And then learned the Miranda warning from Jack Webb, the right to remain silent, etc. The problem with Nitwit Nero... Everybody around him should wear a T-shirt that says, "You have the right to remain silent. You should try it sometime." But no, he was yapping away in the summer of 2021, almost 2 years ago now, in which everything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Well, the thing that he said that can be used against him in a court of law in this particular instance is that, he acknowledged hanging on to a classified document about Iran. One individual speaking to CNN said that the audio clip is about 2 minutes long. Nobody has it yet. It's part of a tiny part of a much longer meeting. Witnesses have been questioned about the recording, and this is important, before the grand jury, the federal grand jury, that Jack Smith is presenting evidence to. Investigators, among other things, have made inquiry of General Mark Milley about it. The meeting apparently took place in July of 2021, at Nitwit Nero's sleazy golf emporium at Bedminster, New Jersey. Never mind. And there were two people there who were working on the autobiography of his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. And some of Nitwit Nero's own aides were there. One of those was Margot Martin, a communications specialist. The people who were there did not, and this is kind of important, the people who were there did not have security clearances that would give them access to classified information. Now, in the aforementioned Mark Meadows autobiography, there's reference to a moment where Nitwit Nero, quote, recalls a four-page report typed up by Mark Milley himself. It contained the general's own plan to attack Iran, deploying massive numbers of troops, something he urged President Trump to do more than once during his presidency. On the other hand, Milley's people say, no, General Milley didn't do that. Now, while Milley's spokesman is declining comment to CNN, Milley has spoken with Jack Smith's people. And Nitwit Nero is there talking about being in possession of a classified document in July 2021. The CNN article says that his investigation shows signs of nearing its end, though it hasn't yet resulted in any criminal charges. Well, that's probably because Jack Smith will have to go Mother May I hat in hand to Attorney General Merrick Garland to get that permission. And what we are finding out, and again, so often it's the case that we had no idea how near we were to disaster, even though many of us suspected it. The meeting came after an article in The New Yorker by Susan Glasser. And that story detailed how General Milley told the Joint Chiefs to make sure that Nitwit Nero could give no illegal orders, and that he, General Milley, was to be told if anybody was worried about anything. And this, of course, caused the jiggling adipose wad of petty grievances and jealousies to blow his top. In point of fact, General Milley constantly worried about the fact that Marcus Aurelius, quote, might set in motion a full-scale conflict that was not justified. Because remember, this is the same nitwit Nero said, who once said,
what's the point of having nuclear weapons if you can't reuse them?
This is the same nitwit Nero who wanted to nuke a hurricane. And it looks like, this certainly smells like criminal liability, doesn't it? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he declassified them with his very big brain.
Very big, very big brain, yes.
But back to the debt ceiling for just a second. The maggot caucus has begun to chew on each other's livers. And it's gotten to the point now that they're actively attacking each other. Matt, it just gets worse, is now openly mocking Marginal Trailer Queen. Because she issued a 19-tweet Twitter twissy, defending the debt deal, Remember, Nancy Mace of South Carolina stand said, we just got outmaneuvered by a guy who can't find his pants. And yet somehow he left the entire Republican caucus without their shirts. Eep. It's always fun to watch insurgencies tear themselves to pieces. Because sooner or later, it's much more fun mean-girling at each other, witness Lauren Boebert and Marginal Trailer Queen. Jim Jacketoff Jordan has been defending the debt deal. So has Thomas Massey of Kentucky. Matt Gaetz, again, it just gets worse, tweeted at Marginal Trailer Queen and said, blink twice if you're under duress. Because there was a photo of the three, Jim Jacketoff Jordan and Thomas Massey, who got slapped down by AOC and then, well, the Southern spork-footed rat. Making mouth noises about the deal. Meanwhile, Marginal Trailer Queen, well, she's supporting the deal because she thinks she's going to get something out of it. She wants a trade. She wants a deal for her cooperation. She said that the deal was, in fact, a shit sandwich. And then, not realizing that, she then said, I'm a dessert girl. One can only imagine. Everyone loves dessert, and that's impeachment. Someone needs to be impeached. You know, someone. Well, you know, I mean, her orange god emperor got impeached twice, but that's not what she meant. She said she wants a beautiful dessert. God. And she desperately wants to impeach Joe Biden, but she'd be happy if she could impeach Secretary Mayorkas or, I don't know, Vice President Harris. She just wants to impeach somebody, y'all. And said she's got co-sponsors on every one of her impeachment resolutions. She's gotten anywhere between 3 and 6 co-sponsors on them. And so it would appear that she's trying to arm twist the weaker speaker into supporting any of them. Just pick one. I just want to impeach somebody, damn it. I want to impeach somebody. Because impeaching's fun. She thinks that if she supports the debt deal, that the weaker speaker will say, well, all right, Marge, you can have your impeachment hearing. Government by stupidity. And it is kind of funny. All these months of complaining that Joe Biden is incompetent, senile, that kind of thing. Kevers, weaker Speaker McCarthy saying that he would take soft food with him so that he and Biden could hammer out details of a deal. Instead, although there's a bunch of nasty shit in there, President Biden has pretty much eaten their lunch. I drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. Remember Daniel Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood? Yeah, McCarthy called him, said Biden was bumbling. Again, another movie reference to Humphrey Bogart telling the Nazi colonel, Colonel Strasser? No, it was Louis, Captain Renault. I wouldn't be so dismissive of those bumbling Americans. I was with them when they bumbled into Berlin in 1918. But never missing an opportunity to just be bitchy. Senator Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head, responding to a question as to whether Biden had gotten the better of McCarthy. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, said, "Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. Come with me and pray to Aqua Buddha." And even the weaker speaker said, we went in there and they were pretty smart and they were pretty tough. And there's one little fact out of all of this that sort of came to the fore. One of the fetish objects that was within the list of fetish objects that the maggots wanted was work requirements for eating food. Poor folks eating food, having to have work requirements. Well, it turned out that some economists and budget types ran the numbers on that and said, "Hey, y'all, that's not going to cut the cost of food stamps any. And it's going to make matters worse." I don't think anybody was surprised by that. Do you? Oh, okay. Thank you, Scott in San Diego. Denmark is the other debt ceiling country. They must not have as many Nazis and maggots as we do. Thank you, Scott. Just to get us started this evening, Ralph's is offering a $25 challenge for the David outfit I sent to Robin. Thank you. Thank you, Ralph's. So Ralph's will match the first $25 that comes in. Ralph's is there so many days, and, you know, she's trying to encourage folks to keep this all going. We may not make it to 1,500 and how many dollars was it? $1,540, yeah. But if we could knock down some chunk of it, it would be huge. And the first $25 gets doubled. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you. Flavio says, Biden, yeah, I'm sick of people saying he's senile because he sometimes stutters and mixes metaphors. He just outwitted them all, and best of all, he made them think they did it all, thought it all themselves. That's an art. And I agree with Flavio. I think he's sharp as a tack. But then again, everything with a maggot is either projection or confession. They know that Nitwit Nero is not all home, for whatever reason. Remember, wasn't it testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson who said it, that Nitwit Nero is probably autistic? I mean, nobody on our side was saying that. But he did. So, they know who he is. But they like the hate. We talked in yesterday's program about the his claim that he could eliminate the 14th a provision of the 14th Amendment with the stroke of his executive order sign in Sharpie. And in further evidence of all of that madness, well, we have and proof that the disease does in fact metastasize. We have a Canoodlian white nationalist by the name of Tyler Russell, who runs the America First movement, and he has things that, well, he's got ideas. And he, Tyler Russell, wants us to know.
All of these DeSantis, you know, libertarian populist people that are like, we need to actually have political substance. You know what? No, I don't give a fuck about that, okay? I don't care about your political substance. I want a Trump Reich. I want a Trump Reich. And I want Trump's face to be, you know, projected onto every single tallest skyscraper in every city around America, okay? That's what I want. We don't want freedom. We want a total Trumpian Reich, okay? That's what we want. We want a total Trumpian Reich. We want dictator Trump.
That's not me. That's his.
We want Trump to rule forever and ever.
Machine.
And make America great again. And we want all these people who are acting in bad faith, who are traitors to this nation, to go to jail. That's what we want.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want a full-on Nazi America. Didn't remember the senior senator now from Alabama, Tommy the Tuber. He doesn't understand why the military would have a problem having Nazis in it, white nationalists. And, there is some Tommy the Tuber news out there. Of course, he's a big fan of Nitwit Nero. And I did not know it, but Tommy the Tuber has a sibling. Tommy the Tuber's sibling is Charles Tuberville. He's out of Oklahoma, Stan. He's a singer and a guitar player and a songwriter. And he found out about some of the dumb shit that his brother was saying. Now, bear in mind, Charles Tuberville has... He's a working musician. He's been around jamming since the 1970s. He's played with folks like Leon Russell, Freddie King, Bobby Keys, Johnny Winter, Delbert McClinton, Jimmy Vivino, Kenny Neal, B.B. King. This guy's no slouch. But over on Facebook, Charles Tuberville said, due to recent statements by him, meaning his idiot brother, vying for the title of dumbest man in the United States, dumbest person. Stop that, Robin. You should know better by now. Dumbest person, because remember, Marsha 3X Blackburn is in the mix. But he is. Tommy Tuberville is vying for dumbest person in the United States Senate. Perhaps the United States government, but he's got a lot of work to do to catch up with Marginal Trailer Queen and Lauren Bobblehead Boobert and a few of the others. Due to recent statements by him, Tommy, promoting racial stereotypes, white nationalism, and other various controversial topics, I feel compelled to distance myself from his ignorant, hateful rants. What I'm trying to say is that I do not agree with any of the vile rhetoric coming out of his mouth. Please don't confuse my brother with me. You know, Mr. Tuberville, you might want to sit down and have a little luncheon with, say, the siblings of Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert, because every time he runs for re-election, his entire family comes out and says, Jesus, please don't vote for our brother. He's horrible. He's terrible. He sucks. And then the demon dentist of the desert gets re-elected. But I find it, you know, good for you, Charles Tuberville. Look at you having morals. But that's not the be all and end all of Tommy the Tuber's problems. A Washington Post article linked a guy named Morgan Murphy to efforts out of Tuberville's office to block hundreds and hundreds of senior military promotions. These are, you know, we're talking about people making, going from bird colonel to brigadier general, that kind of thing. Well, Morgan Murphy has quit Tuberville's office. After the Washington Post made clear what he was doing, because the reason Tommy the Tuber was throwing that fit . Well, he was protesting the Pentagon's position over its abortion travel policy. But Morgan Murphy, having been identified by the Post as integral to that nasty little process, pissed and moaned and whined that it wasn't him. He said, Tuberville, he said, he's the boss and calls the shots and always has. I am, was, at the end of the day, a staffer. I didn't take kindly to a perception otherwise, he said, weeping to Politico. Now, he said the Post article was factual in many respects, but simply overstated my role in decision-making. And Tommy the Tuber wasn't happy either. He said he was not the person who drove the bus on that he didn't get Tommy the Tuber to sign on to that bigoted misogynistic hate that, well, Tommy the Tuber got there all by himself. The staffer, again, Morgan Murphy, said, it was my responsibility as a staffer to present the senator with his range of options, which went from sending a letter to offering a meeting to introducing an amendment or placing holds. And so still, a whole bunch of otherwise routine military high-level promotions are on hold. And, of course, playing good cop, bad cop with the multimillionaire for-profit media, Moscow Mitch McConnell said, no, I don't support putting a hold on military nominations. I don't support that. But as to why, you'll have to ask Senator Tuberville. Don't. I wasn't here. I didn't do it. I didn't know anything about it. And even if I did, I was only following orders, right? Jesus. So, Ralph's challenge has been matched. Thank you, anonymous internet friend. Ralph's challenge has been matched, and we are now down under $15, or $1,500, sorry, wishful thinking, down under $1,500 to finish the month of May. Oh, dear, note coming in from Kim in New York. Did you know that low-income housing is more dangerous than SNAP? I didn't get a chance to listen to the program last night, so I don't know if you mentioned this little chestnut from Representative Glenn Grothman from where else, Wisconsin. As Malloy says, have I told you tonight how much I hate these people? And the story comes from Mediaite. House Republican calls low-income housing, get the hockey puck, wait for it, even more dangerous than food stamps, discouraging work and discouraging marriage. He's a real Lulu. Glenn Grothman is. And always has been. Atne ute I pray if you one what I ain't may. Let me get to that clip again. Had it on the wrong device. You know, producing a live radio program is not as easy as it seems when there's only one of you. Here we go. Yeah, here's Glenn Grothman. It's entirely possible we could lose entire IQ points just based on this clip alone. It's a risk we have to take here.
Yep, I'll try to make it quick because votes are going on. We have two amendments here. First is number 33. President Biden has proposed equity action teams to kind of monitor every government agency. I think it's offensive. They want to judge people by race. They want to permanently cause people to look at each other as being part of a race.
Oh, we look at you, Glenn.
To defund those and make sure that they don't get off the ground in the future. The Second Amendment.
Mommy, that man sure has a big funny nose. Be respectful of your elders, dear. You'd like to have a nose like that full of nickels, wouldn't you? Yeah, never mind. I'm sure Glenn Grothman is a total, absolute teetotaler.
In 75, for whatever reason, the people put together this bill knew we needed work requirements for SNAP. They said we shouldn't have them for Medicaid, which kind of I predicted, but they left low-income housing untouched. I think as far as discouraging work and discouraging marriage, I think low-income housing is even a more dangerous program than the food stamps.
Dangerous.
So I'm including low-income housing in the mix of having work requirements. The amendment is drafted just includes Section 8 housing, which is an error on my part because there are other low-income housings as well. But that's what we have before us.
You know,
I would appreciate
it
if you let that to the floor because I don't think our team fought on the low-income housing front at all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. A note for the stenographer.
Yeah. Of course, I don't know when the last time was that Glenn Grothman actually had to worry about health care or had to worry about a paycheck, because long before he got to Congress, he was sucking at the government teat in Madison. Thanks for that, Kim. So inspiring. And since we've moved on to awful, well, it's reminiscent of the Alaska representative from back in February when a representative there, Representative David Eastman, he was questioning the CEO of the Alaska Children's Trust, an organization that tries to prevent child abuse and neglect. And he said, remember this? We covered this. How would you respond to the argument that I have heard on occasion where in the case of child abuse is fatal? Obviously, it's not good for the child, but it's actually a benefit to society because there aren't needs for government services and whatnot over the whole course of the child's life. Man, this sounds like some top-shelf bullshit libertarianism, doesn't it? The witness, Trevor Storrs, was, of course, horrified. Can you say that again? Did you say a benefit to society? Now, of course, remember, representing Eastman up in Alaska, he's pro-life, at least until the fetus is born. Yeah. What an evening, huh? It is prayer meeting Wednesday, however. And with that in mind, we should probably take note that here we are again. TPUSA, that's Charlie Kirk, among others. The man with the big giant head. TPUSA held something called a Pastor's Summit, May the 24th to the 26th, down in Nash, Vegas. There was a lot of barking and grunting and bleating and praying and carrying on. Yeah. Probably a little snake handling. Well, at their Pastor's Summit, they had a corporate sponsor. It claims to be a Christian fashion company. The person who runs it is someone named Sean Bergstrand. They happily took, TPUSA happily took their money. Well, it's the only problem. TPUSA is one of these huge, well-funded, tax-exempt grifts that runs around screaming, "Groomer!" Only they never scream it about the actual groomers, you know, Republicans, pastors, preachers, youth ministers, priests, scoutmasters, etc. No, they accuse other people of that. And, well, the only problem is Sean Bergstrand, who runs the Christian clothing company and paid money to, as a corporate sponsor to TPUSA for the Pastor Summit. Sean Bergstrand is a registered sex offender. And he did federal time in the joint based on his attempt to coerce and entice a juvenile girl to have sexy time with him, an adult. TPUSA said, "Well, we didn't know that. How about that?" But he wasn't professing doctrine from the stage. And he wasn't a speaker or organizer. No, he just gave us money. And a spokescreep by the name of Andrew Colbert for TPUSA said, "One of the core tenets of the Christian faith is forgiveness rooted in repentance. After discussing the issue with him, we believe it was critical to bringing him to faith. He doesn't hide from what happened. He instead posts his testimony online on his company website. TPUSA Faith will not toss away a repentant, decent person because of a mistake that happened over a decade before, or because a left-wing outlet wants to write a hit piece on the amazing work our team is doing." And, hi, Kyle. Yes, we're on the air. You want to talk? You're talking. Everybody hears you. Candio, she used to be the communications director for that toxic group. She accused Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson of being a pedophile simp. Said she took a uniquely soft approach to sentencing people convicted of child sex crimes. Jahan Jones covered the whole story over at the Readout blog for MSNBC. Jahan Jones said, it's ironic given TPUSA President Charlie Kirk's recent rants about purported groomers. Needless to say, if you've been baselessly lobbying allegations of child sex predation at others, it's probably best to ensure no one you're affiliated with has been convicted of similar crimes. This rule apparently never made it into the TPUSA trainer's manual. Ouch. Well, because the hypocrisy is it's a selling point. Oh, and speaking of right-wing criminals, coming out, the story comes out of South Florida. It's the story of a 55-year-old man named Mark Bartlett. Back in 2019, he confronted, while armed, a group of black teenagers who were riding their bicycles in an MLK Day protest against housing inequality. He charged the boys with a handgun drawn, yelling that word, of course, as they stopped traffic for the demonstration. In court, Mark Bartlett said he was being held hostage in his own vehicle. He climbed out, he got out of his car to chase down some kids on bikes and wave a gun in their face. Well, once he got in front of a court of competent jurisdiction with the power to imprison him, suddenly, Mark Bartlett found his conscience. I apologize for my conduct that day. I was wrong to use those words and correct the pain that my words have caused anyone. I sincerely apologize. That was it. Because he'd signed a plea deal saying he'd promised to apologize. He pled guilty to a hate crime, an aggravated assault. Said he'd wait 10 years before he bought another gun. Said he'd do 300 hours of community service and take anger management classes and racial sensitivity training. But the prosecutors pled away the jail time, which could have been decades. So Mark Bartlett even had his adjudication withheld. And even after all he did, he'll never even have a conviction on his record. He even gets to travel for business to Chicago and Puerto Rico. That's some privilege, that white privilege. And a Republican politician, a candidate, J.R. Majewski. He's from the Buckeye State, Ohio. And J.R. Majewski had a pretty credible challenge for a congressional seat in 2022. Campaign was going pretty well, really. Big old dude bro, the kind of folks that maggots like to vote for. Well, he lost. But here this past April, last month, he started another campaign to run against incumbent Democratic Representative Marcy Kaptur. And then yesterday, he sent out an email to his supporters saying, change my mind. I need to be home to help my mama after she had triple bypass surgery. And my daddy died during the last campaign. Yes, I plan on withdrawing because of my mother's health, he said when Politico reached out to him to ask. The only problem was he's one of those stolen valor dudes. Yes, he was in the Air Force. He was. But that's about where the truth ended. He was such a loyal maggot that he turned his entire front yard into a sort of a pilgrimage spot for his god emperor, Nitwit Nero. He said, I hope you all understand this is one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. Well, see, it turns out he probably lied about having served in Afghanistan. There are no military records that show that he was deployed there. He still said, no, I wasn't lying about it. Maybe it was double secret probation. Jesus, these people. But speaking of veterans, Ron Monkey Up Duplantis is out in Iowa. And like I said before, man, if we thought the Romney bot was wooden, Monkey Up has about as much human charm as a robot proctologist. And one of the people criticizing him is Paul Rykoff, founder of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. And they had him on MSNBC. And Rykoff said, well, let's go to the audio, shall we?
Off his first presidential campaign trip today, framed wokeism as some sort of existential threat to America.
Why is right now the time for Ron DeSantis to run for president?
Because everyone knows if I'm the nominee, I will beat Biden and I will serve two terms and I will be able to destroy leftism in this country and leave woke ideology on the dustbin of history.
A woke mob did not storm the U.S. Capitol. A woke mob did not shoot up Uvalde. A woke mob does not represent the threat that domestic violent extremism did. Okay, Ron, you go get the woke mob. Joining our conversation, former U.S. Senate candidate and retired U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Amy McGrath. Also joining us, former Chief of Staff at the CIA and the Department of Defense, Jeremy Bash. Back at the table with me, Paul Rykoff. He's a national security and political analyst, as well as the founder of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, host of the Independent Americans podcast. I'm so glad to have all of you. I don't know where to start. I'll give you the table prerogative of going first. What's wrong with Ron DeSantis' words on Memorial Day?
It's not going to win him a general election, that's for sure. I think, you know, the GOP has become farther and farther right. The middle seems to be gone.
Is this right, though, this anti-military? Is that right?
I think it's popular now in the far right of this country. Any institution that they view as woke is popular to attack. I think it's a losing general election strategy.
Is the military woke?
No. I mean, the military is progressive in the sense that it's evolving. I mean, we talked about this last week with regard to Tommy Tuberville. It sounds like they want to create the army of the Confederacy. I mean, yeah, the army is evolved in that now it allows in women, and it's no longer all white, and it's moving forward, and that seems to be what they're attacking. I think they're making a really big political miscalculation by attacking the military. They're not attacking politicians. They're not going after Joe Biden. They're going after the military, and that's one of the few institutions in America that still has high popularity ratings, especially among independents. I think they're continuing to drive independence further and further away from them as candidates and this agenda.
I mean, and just to be clear, there is no woke party. I mean, I think this is a politically complicated argument to make as a message, Amy. I mean, you have to convince the country that there's woke people who assemble and gather and run woke camp. I mean, that's not reality. Joe Biden spent the weekend talking to Kevin McCarthy. I mean, what is this about?
Well, wokeism isn't a thing. And to bring it into the light of somehow the military is too woke, it's really a shame that we have a presidential candidate that's doing this. You know, it actually hurts our military. You know, diversity and inclusion efforts have been going on for the past like 30 plus years. I am a product, as somebody who has been a fighter pilot as a woman, I am a product of these efforts. You know, what these guys want to do is they want to go back to, you know, pre-1990 when women couldn't do some of these jobs in the military. I mean, it's crazy. And it actually hurts us because you know what? Our military exists to fight and win the nation's wars. And we should have the best people in those positions. And we got to be able to go out and recruit from everybody, from all walks of life. And that's what these efforts that the Pentagon is doing and have been doing for years, that's what they're doing. And to bash that, it's really just crazy on DeSantis' part.
And it's not without real targets of their ire. They rail against Chairman Milley. They rail against Secretary Austin. They smear them and malign them. And when Chairman Milley's crime, I think, is that he testified under oath that he would like to understand white rage. Done. That's what they're mad at him about. I'm not even clear on what the smear against Secretary Austin is about, but it does represent a new brazenness in terms of being willing and eager to smear military leaders. Amy, why do you think that they're cheered on by the echo chamber on the right?
Well, I think it plays to their base. They have to create, they want to create chaos. But here's the thing. This is reason number 121. Information to the public, hurting our national security. When you have the right wing cheering on right wing folks who are like the airmen, the Air National Guardsmen, who release this classified information, you are not the party of national security anymore. And this again is another example of that. And I think it's going to hurt them in the long run.
I mean, Jeremy, by design, none of you are politicians, but Jeremy, it takes Democrats being willing to make this argument that the Republican Party under at least DeSantis and Trump are running as anti-military candidates.
Well, I certainly think that they are running as anti-U.S. leadership in the world candidates. And I think case in point is exactly their position on Ukraine, exactly their position on NATO. So Ron DeSantis called Ukraine a territorial dispute. Then he had to, of course, clean up IL-8 when everybody pointed out to him that this was an autocratic government in Putin in Russia that was running roughshod over a democracy on the doorstep of NATO, and that this was no mere territorial dispute. This was a geopolitical threat to the West and to the United States, and the United States and our allies have had to rush to Ukraine's defense with weapons, with intelligence, with training, with cooperation, with sanctions against Russia, with cyber defenses, with an array of military capabilities to ensure that
this is a fairly crushing brief against Monkey Up. But I think in many instances, I think it's actually a better idea just to let him hang himself upon his own petard. Hoist. Because clips of him speaking are his worst possible enemy. And Steve Schmidt has been relentless in going after Monkey Up.
There he is, Governor Ron DeSantis, the Mussolini of Tallahassee, using a U.S. Navy war vessel as a visual prop just days after his disastrous launch, which spurned the fantastic hashtag disaster. Now, Ron DeSantis has apparently learned that while running for president, it's a visual medium that matters. And so there he is, standing, well-framed, looking good, about to answer a question. Now, generations of Americans have been raised being told something that we all know isn't true. And it's this: there's no stupid questions. There are. There's lots of stupid questions. And a great place to find them is on Fox and Friends. Let's watch one. But before we do, let's understand something about the question. It's premised on a delusion. And the delusion is this: is that all over the country, the American people are wondering, why, Ron? Why do you have to run now? Why can't you wait? Why can't you wait for Mr. Trump to get four more years?
Republicans, most of the people that support you probably voted for President Trump twice. And the first comment I hear over and over again is, why doesn't Ron DeSantis wait for President Trump's second term and then run? And what is your best answer to that? Why is right now the time for Ron DeSantis to run for president?
Because everyone knows if I'm the nominee, I will beat Biden and I will serve two terms and I will be able to destroy leftism in this country and leave woke ideology on the dustbin of history.
I'd legitimately like to know, who is it that he intends to smash? Is he going to arrest Bernie Sanders? Does he want to send AOC to a rehabilitation and re-education camp?
Guantanamo.
What's he talking about?
Strap her to a chair just like he did.
American politicians don't talk about this. Don't talk like this. These are the words of a thug. These are the words of an autocrat. These are the words of a dictator, and they should be taken seriously because he means it. There's something disordered about Ron DeSantis. He doesn't understand, apparently, the ideas and ideals of the country. And by the way, everybody knows that Ron DeSantis is going to beat Joe Biden and serve two terms? Let me set the record straight. Actually, nobody knows that. Like, literally nobody. As in anyone across America. When they look at Ron DeSantis, what they see is a hugely awkward autocrat wannabe who eats pudding with his fingers and wears these boots.
These boots being a picture of the go-go boots. He's not wrong. And it feels like the more that Monkey Up talks, the less human he seems to be. And there's more stuff out there. And it's only going to get worse. He's out there trying to scrounge up money because, you know, presidential politics is a money game. And in a closed-door session, the contents of which were leaked, this pitch meeting to a bunch of wealthy Republicans didn't look great. The article comes from the Daily Beast, where the publisher of FloridaPolitics.com, Peter Schorsch, said DeSantis' team also talked up the large share of voters in early voting states who believe DeSantis is ready to be president, with 62% in Iowa, 50% in New Hampshire, 47% in South Carolina, 56% in Nevada. What the talking points ignore is that 27 to 42% of voters in those states believe he's not ready. Political campaigners know they have to boast about any metric showing net favorability, but any political observer would tell you those large negative numbers are a discouraging sign for a candidate, especially one with near universal name ID. And the bottom line is, the voters still prefer, you know, ready to be president is different from prefer over nitwit Nero. After all those years of Democrats running Republican light, you know, blue dog Democrats and getting their asses handed to them, maybe we finally figured out that if a voter is given a choice between a real Republican and a Republican light, they will vote for the real Republican. The same applies to Monkey Up and Nitwit Nero. Given a choice of voting for their orange god emperor or a simulacrum of him, they'll vote for the orange god emperor every time. I'm more worried about a unity ticket than anything. You know, Monkey Up as the vice presidential running mate to Nitwit Nero, but Nitwit Nero's ego won't let that happen. A little bit of January 6th news. Richard Big O Barnett, remember Big O? Big O dipshit? Sorry. He's the guy who put his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk. He has long since been convicted of his felonies. He's been sentenced to 4.5 years in the federal stir. And now he went back before the judge one last time, saying that I need the rest of the summer to arrange my affairs before I have to do my prison time. U.S. District Judge Christopher R. Cooper entered an order saying defendant has had ample time since his conviction to prepare for his incarceration and presents no compelling reasons to justify additional delay. Defendant's request for a recommendation for a Bureau of Prisons placement beyond 500 miles from his home in order to qualify him for a minimum security facility is also denied. Determinations regarding security level placements lie in the sound discretion of the Bureau of Prisons based on its internal criteria. The court generally plays no role in those determinations. Big O said, I need to earn some extra income because my significant other is disabled. Our client needs to do repairs to her home to make sure everything's in working order, and other miscellaneous projects will be unduly burdensome on her as she is not in the financial position to hire someone to do these projects. You know, all the sympathy in the world. Maybe Big O's significant other isn't even a maggot. Odds are long against, but still. And if Big O really actually loved her, all he had to do was stay home in Arkansas. And he could have barked and grunted and pissed and moaned and hooted and howled and bleated about stopping the steal. And all. Nope. He loaded up and he went and boy, I tell you, he was full of piss and vinegar on January 6th when he participated in the terrorism attack against the United States Capitol. Talk shit to Nancy Pelosi while sitting at her desk. Spent about 10 minutes there. Took time to write a note to her and told her what a bitch he thought she was. Took an envelope from her desk and gave it to other terrorists. Said it was a trophy. So now he's going to do 4.5 years in the federal sneezer. And here's the thing. He was looking at up to 20 years. He's looking at up to 20 years. He got 4.5. He participated in a domestic terrorist assault on the capital of the United States. Thank God he didn't rip off any billionaires or former secretaries of state. So, we don't know where he's going to federal prison. Hopefully he does the whole 4.5 years. Because that's a lot less than 20. The news cycle this evening is just full of weirdness. Not to say that it isn't usually, but this particular story has some prayer meeting Wednesday ramifications. The founder of the Daily Wire sleaze feed is a guy named Jeremy Boring. And today, he said he really regretted a particular story that ran on the Daily Wire about a show called The Chosen. I've actually seen ads for this thing. Inexplicably. They pop up from time to time. And, you know, they show this sort of curly-headed, bearded, brown dude who we are to assume is Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life. And, in the promos for The Chosen, if I understand this correctly, there was visible, gasp, a little rainbow pride flag. Oopsie. And it apparently belonged to a crew member. The filmmakers, in a statement, said, "Just like with our hundreds of cast and crew who have different beliefs or no belief at all than we do, we will work with anyone on our show who helps us portray or honor the authentic Jesus," which, by the way, is impossible to determine because there's no actual biographical information about him. It's all hagiography. "We ask that audiences let the show speak for itself and focus on the message, not the messenger, because we'll always let you down." All this over a little teeny tiny itsy bitsy pride flag. And the Daily Wire ran a story sleazing the show for it. But apparently that the show has some money, so he had to go to Twitter, Jeremy Boring did, and say, "Oh, this is a disgusting piece, and I'm sorry we ran it." A show like The Chosen has 100-plus employees. One of them brought a pride flag to work. That sucks!
Why does it suck, Jeremy?
"But it's hardly the fault of the show. The producer's response also sucks, but it isn't untrue. There's no 'you don't have to hire gay people if you don't agree with homosexuality allowance in the U.S. labor law. On the whole, this piece reeks of purity death spiral politics. Unless you're perfect, as defined by the ever and rapidly changing sensibilities of the moment, you aren't even good. That way lies madness."
So he's sorry we ran the story. But at the same time, he wishes he was that people could be free in this country to deliberately, economically punish people for how they love each other. Hoo-wee, that's some top-shelf Christianity, y'all. Ain't it? Ain't it just? Yeah.
Meanwhile, Pope Frank is through his, you know, underlings or minions or whatever, is pissed. Especially with upper level leaders of the Holy Mother Church. And he's mad at him about social media. I find this ironic to see this story in the same week where the U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, said that, social media is not good for children. Well, that's not what the Vatican said. The Vatican used some big words that probably 99% of practitioners of faith won't understand. The problem of polemical and superficial and thus divisive communication is particularly worrying when it comes from church leadership, bishops, pastors, and prominent lay leaders. You know, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has been trying to excommunicate or otherwise torment American politicians for following what was the constitutional rule of law, namely a woman has her own right to make determinations about the workings of her reproductive system. But that all went away last June, with the arrival of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, in which our most puissant Dread Sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesty said, we all have to behave like Catholics now, whether we like it or not. What this was probably about, though, was a bunch of really shitty bishops and archbishops and pastors and lay people who are pissed at Pope Frank and attacking him from the ultra-right fascist wing. The thing they released was called Towards Full Presence, a Pastoral Reflection on Engagement with Social Media. So, I mean, it's something. Not a lot. Might be nice if the Vatican would say that it is of the position that government entities have no right to force their Roman Catholic beliefs on the rest of us, but, well, I'm sure that's a bridge way too far. Kim in New York with another question. Going back to Big O in Arkansas, I wonder if Big O's wife is receiving Social Security disability benefits in SNAP. Well, probably, but Kim, she's one of the good ones. She's deserving. See, that's how it works. Matt in San Francisco, top shelf Christians. Matt says, it's too bad we can't shove them in ovens, but that's the law. So many Christians. So few lions. And, the great kerfuffle over the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence will not go away. You recall that for Pride, the Dodgers invited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who have done a lot of good work, who started doing their good work during the rise of the AIDS crisis. Kyle, yeah, I know Kyle. And then I think Marco Rubio and a bunch of bleating, braying, grunting, knee-walking theocrats said, "How dare you!" And so the Dodgers disinvited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And all the decent people then said, what the fuck? And they re-invited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And now a pitcher, Trevor Williams, starter for the Washington Nationals, who are, curiously enough, not the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, he went on Twitter to express his butthurtery.
Major League Baseball game is a place where people from all walks of life should feel welcomed, something I greatly respect and support. This is the purpose of different themed nights hosted by the organization, including Pride Night, to invite and honor a group that makes blatant, deeply offensive mockery of my religion and the religion of over 4 million people in Los Angeles County alone, undermines the values of respect and inclusivity that should be upheld by any organization. Argle, bargle, warble, woof.
I'm sorry, Kyle.
Creating an environment in which one group feels celebrated and honored at the expense of another is counterproductive and wrong.
Let's see, what did all the white people say to all the maggots say to LeBron James when he spoke out against social injustice? What was it? Shut up and dribble? Yeah, shut up and pitch, dipshit.
This group grossly disrespects and openly mocks many of the traditions and beliefs that Catholics hold most dear,
you know, like women being second-class citizens. And then, because I guess he thinks he's now the commissioner of Major League Baseball or something? Trevor Williams went on to say that
it's essential for the Dodgers to reconsider their association with the group and create an inclusive environment that does not demean or disrespect the religious beliefs of any fan or employee. And my fellow Catholics should reconsider their support of the Dodgers. I know I'm not alone in my frustration, hurt, and disappointed about
it. Oh, yeah, you're frustrated and hurt and disappointed. You're a fucking millionaire who gets paid to play a little boy's game.
As Catholics, we look to Jesus Christ and
Jesus, how come you made me hang that curveball out there and he parked me in the cheap seats, Jesus? That wasn't very nice, me loving you and everything.
We look to Jesus Christ and the way he was treated, and we realize that any suffering in this world unites us to him in the next.
Like I said, it's a 1,700-year-old death cult. And then an actual Dodger, a star pitcher for the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw, decided to weigh in. He said that he wants to bring back Faith Day at Dodger Stadium.
I don't agree with making fun of other people's religions. It has nothing to do with anything other than that. I just don't think that no matter what religion you are, you should make fun of somebody else's religion. So that's something I definitely don't agree with.
Trade that motherfucker to the Tehran terrorists, why don't we? Come on, Dodgers front office, get with the program. And then, because it was becoming abundantly obvious just exactly who Clayton Kershaw was telling the world he was.
This has nothing to do with the LGBT community or pride or anything like that. This is simply a group that was making fun of a religion that I don't agree with.
That he doesn't agree with. Poor little snowflake. Poor pumpkin. God, I hope your ERA goes up to 112. But then again, I'm a bitch. Pride Night will be June 16th at Dodger Stadium in lovely Chavez Ravine. Faith Day, on the other hand, is slated for July the 30th. I'm pretty sure it's going to be there won't be a lot of people there. Unless they're, you know, giving away free beer for the deacons. Just becomes wearying, you know. Oh, I made a mistake earlier. We've got $5 more to go on Raps' challenge. Our anonymous friend did 20 of it, not the whole 25. So if somebody'd like to kick in $5, that would be great. And that will then, we will be all the way under the 15, you know, 1490. Yes, Kyle, you are rambunctious this evening, buddy. Now, it's okay. So anyway, yeah, 1490. It's a hell of a hole to finish. Man. It'd be great if we didn't. Let's run over to the Skype line. I think Tracy's with us. Is that you, Tracy? Hello? Yeah, I've got the right button and everything. Well, yeah, Ralph's, Kyle has never been, even when he lived in his human form, he had no real regard for religion. So, you know, there's that. Tracy. Wait, okay, I want to think I hear you, but I don't hear you. Okay, you there now? I absolutely have everything plugged up right. I'm using the right button. I've got it gained up. Yes, Randy Radar says Kyle's protesting the cat food ceiling.
Can you hear me?
There you are.
That was so weird. I haven't heard a thing that you. It was like earlier. I was hearing the broadcast, and then I just heard garble 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 garble, crackle crackle garble garble crackle.
Well, that was probably. I don't know. At some point in time, I've got to replace this cord, but I'm not going to touch it right now. I think it's got a short in it.
Yeah, don't touch it. I'm hearkening back to the days of the rabbit ears and the tinfoil on the rabbit ears and the screwdriver to change the channel on the TV.
Right, exactly.
And you once you got it to a certain spot, you dare not move it. So the last thing I heard before the crackle crackle garble garble is you were talking about blue dot, if Republicans have a choice between Republican light or straight up Republican, they're going to straight up vote for straight up Republican.
Well, in this case, if they've got a choice between Monkey Up Duplantis and the genuine King of the Maggots, they're going to go with the King of the Maggots.
Right. Who were those people talking? I love them. It's like, look. Democrats, y'all need to stop playing and get real with this.
That was Steve Schmidt.
Okay. It's like...
Lincoln Project.
Uh-oh. Okay. So they're still Republicans?
Well, I mean, he's an independent. He can never be a Democrat, but he's an independent.
Oh, okay. So I see you saw my text about the Enchirito.
Yes.
Know this has nothing to do with
it. Yeah, let's talk about the important shit. The Enchirito is coming back to Taco Hell.
Yeah, but you have to use the app to get it. I'm like, because
me off because my wireless internet barely works across the river, especially in tourist season.
Right. So
I ain't going to be ordering. I mean, the only way I'm going to order an Enchirito is if I'm sitting over here, I use my own wireless, I order the Enchirito, and go pick up a cold Enchirito 20 minutes later in Oak Hill, or Fayetteville.
No, but see, no. You can order it and say when you're going to pick it up. The app does work.
Now, I told you what a hot mess they made of the Mexican pizza, right? You really
yes.
think that's going to work out here?
Okay, I'm sorry. Because you know I'm going to have an Enchirito when I drop the kids off, right? Don't roll
wait,
your
it's
eyes
all, wait,
at
it's,
me.
It's, you said bringing back. You didn't say it's already back.
No, it's back. You go on the app. That's what I said. I checked the app before I texted you because I wanted to make sure I had all the information. Since I wouldn't tell you about the Enchirito, the return of the Enchirito, unless I was absolutely sure it was back. It's back. And it's been back at least for, I think, for a few days. So that's really annoys me. Because I don't, even when I do go to Taco Bell, I don't particularly use the app. I just put, it's like, I don't feel like going through all these. I just want my food. I don't want to go on the app, place an order, pay through the app, woo-da-woo, woo-da-freaking-woo. I just want to pull up and get my damn food. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But y'all gonna make me jump through extra hoops to get food. And I find, I think I told you this, the end story when I was pregnant with Alex. I had worked all day, I didn't have cravings when I was pregnant with Alex, right? But I wanted the enchilito, and I worked all day. I was a cashier at Ralph's, been on my feet, pregnant. I just wanted the enchilito. So I go to the Taco Bell on the way home from work. Only thing I could think of was the enchilito. I had visions of, smothered cheese, melted cheese.
You and I get worked up about the enchilito. In fact, I need paid by Taco Hell for this unpaid product placement.
Yeah. Okay. So I get to the drive-thru and I order the enchilito. And they said, we no longer make it. This was, I don't know if this was 87, because I got pregnant with him in fall of 87. So I don't know if this was, it was probably closer to the end of my pregnancy. So it had to be winter or spring of 88. And, it's not like we have seasons here, so who knows, okay? So I burst into tears in the drive-thru. They made me an enchilito. Actually, I think they made me three. Because I was just like, I just want an enchilito. I use my tears with care. I don't just cry because, girly things and I just want my way and I have a temper tantrum. No, I was crushed. I worked all day and just had to look at my baby daddy who, basically denied me and my son and all this. And the only thing that was the enchilito. And the motherfuckers said, oh, we don't make those anymore. They made one for me. Because the only thing it is okay, they have all the ingredients. They are ready. They got the cheese. They got the red sauce. They got the ground beef. They got the flour tortilla that they use for the soft tacos. Y'all make a girl an enchilito. So, quit playing.
I mean, we're talking about some serious shit now.
Right. And now, how dare they? Because, like I said, you notice how you haven't seen any commercials for it. Even though I don't really watch broadcast, I have a TiVo, so it fast forwards through the commercials. And you haven't seen a marketing campaign. So the only way you can get the enchilito is on the damn app.
Well, I'm looking for it now. Taco Hell.
That's not what it's going to come up on in the app sources. Get out of my way on this bike.
Okay, it's going to start loading. I can't believe I'm getting excited about Taco Bell stuff.
We have so we don't have a lot of joy in our lives right now. So every little bit that we can get, we have to embrace it as much as we can.
Yeah, I hate all the hoop jumping. There it is. The enchilito is back.
Mm-hmm. And there it is.
Okay, so I got to know. How many Kleenex did you go through watching Ted Lasso last night? No spoilers.
Remember, I watched it on my phone.
Oh, okay.
But I did rewatch it earlier before, and I didn't go. I got misty. I think I went through more Kleenex watching Mrs. Maisel. With no spoilers, but the episode, the episode when they do, when they roast Susie, and the, you know, so. And the last three episodes of Mrs. Maisel, but I got misty eyes. I wasn't bawling, unlike some people I know.
I can't help it.
But I I went, like I said, I rewatched the whole thing on my real TV, because you know you got the phone, and then you get the big TV, and. Because there was a lot of stuff that I missed watching it on my phone. So it was a lot of stuff I missed, you know. And, of course, I can't give spoilers when we talk off air. I can, but I enjoyed it. They, you know, we had this discussion on how in the world they're going to wrap up all this stuff in one episode. And they did. And I know that you are annoyed about, because when we had this discussion about Mrs. Maisel, you're like, you said, I said, the episode that aired on Friday was the last episode. And you're like, wait, what? Because you felt that they didn't tie up a lot of stuff, which I feel that, you know, they did. I like the time jump thing because, you know, they had the whole season to kind of wrap stuff up to, you know, to bring us as far forward as we could. So I liked how they did that, but I agree with you. There were some things that I was like, but
just
wait.
Just felt unresolved.
Right.
And I have since started, and it looks pretty stupidly funny, Platonic.
Yeah, I haven't, I'm, and you still haven't watched. See, this is, you know what? You and all your white people TV shows.
Oh, hold on.
If you do not watch, truth be told, I'm tired of you. When I said, I'm like, come on.
Hey, I've gotten started on Black Lady Sketch Comedy Show.
Yeah, but you still haven't watched.
Some of my TV shows are black.
Okay, so like one of my favorite TV shows is black. Go ahead and say it. One of my best TV shows is black. It's like, come on. I still haven't started watching this new season of Black Lady Sketch Show, but I know there was this one season when they would, you know, make fun of the Hotep people.
Oh, the Hotep? Yeah, no, she killed me.
The Hotep. Oh man!
And the academic gobbledygook.
God.
Or I should say, would that be pseudo academic gobbledygook?
Pseudo academic. But yeah, no, I enjoy. And oh, so what was I telling? Oh, that speaking of black TV and black movies or what have you, on Peacock. Now, it's a hard watch, but it's an amazing movie, 1001. It's about a black woman. I don't remember exactly what time period. I think it happens in, like, the early 2000s. But it's about a black single mother trying, you know, who's been, you know, formerly incarcerated and, you know, battling, you know, just the stuff of being a black person in this country and trying to raise a black son. And the woman that's the protagonist, I think this is her first acting. I think she's like a rapper or something. You know me in pop culture, and us, especially black pop culture, I suck at this stuff. And, well, pop culture, period, but particularly because there's a lot of people
that are in the forefront of the, you know, of the media and stuff like that, I have absolutely no idea who they are. They're Gen Zers and young millennials. And I'm really getting to that age where I'm a step away from, get off my lawn, kid! You know, it's so I don't really pay attention to these new people because I don't care. But I should, because a lot of these people are up and coming and making, you know, positive impacts and stuff like that. They're not all just really, really. So, yeah, but 1,000, you know, 1,001. If you guys get a chance, it's on Peacock. Great movie. And like I said, it's kind of a heart. It's what is the word? Gritty and very real. No punches pulled in this movie. And it's set in, you know, the Bronx. I think it's the Bronx or Harlem or Brooklyn. One of those, you know, parts of New York that's predominantly black and being in the throes of gentrification and all that good stuff there. So I'm trying to think. There was something else that I just finished that I want to start. So you said Platonic looks promising. I need funny. Oh, so speaking of stuff starting, did you watch Justified? Because I remember when Justified came out.
I begged
you to watch it because, of, you know, West Virginia and all that. And I wanted your take on whether it was because, you know, you were all things West Virginia for me. So, you know, so.
Hillbilly Whisperer.
You're the Hillbilly Whisperer.
In addition to being the Mansion Whisperer.
In addition to being the Mansion Whisperer. So I am so happy to see that Timothy Oliphant. Is it Oliphant or Oliphant? Anyway, fine-ass white boy. That's basically what I call him because he's fine-ass white boy.
Mm-hmm. And the guy who played the villain too. I mean,
oh, but I'm just so excited to find out that he's going to be back this summer in a whole new series.
I tell you one film that I am really looking forward to is the new Martin Scorsese.
Here's a new movie coming out.
Yes, he got a. He and Leonardo DiCaprio and others in attendance at Cannes got a 9-minute standing ovation.
Really?
Killers of the Flower Moon. It's set in Oklahoma. It's based on a true story. It's about the genocide of the Osage people in the 1920s.
Oh wow!
Oil had been found on their land, and so
they gotta go. Hmm. So they were on their reservation, where they had the land that they were on had been stolen from them in the first place. So they forced them on a reservation, and then the white man finds oil on said reservation, and so now we're gonna go ahead and take your land and just. Kill you. It's, you know, we're gonna kill a whole nother generation of Native people. Okay.
And it got made a huge stir. Let's see, Martin Scorsese directed. Leo DiCaprio's in it. Brendan Fraser, Robert De Niro.
Of course.
Lily Gladstone.
Oh, good. I'm happy to hear that Brendan Fraser's in another movie.
John Lithgow, Sturgill Simpson.
Wow, I don't know who Sturgill Simpson is.
Jason Isbell is in it.
Oh, isn't that the singer?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's got a 96% rating on
on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to be me because I can't help it but to be me. So they have theaters in y'all neck of the woods.
Do we got movie theaters? Yes, and I'm still trying to convince Annette. I want Annette to go see Guardians of the Galaxy 3 with me.
Yeah, that's like convincing Jan to go see it. Ain't going to happen.
I hate sitting in movie theaters by myself.
See, I can go to the movies by myself.
I can too, but I don't want to.
But do you want to see the movie?
Shut up, yes. Then I'm going by myself. Right.
Okay. If I waited for Jan to go to the movies, to go see a movie, I would have seen no movies.
And, like, there's one that's hitting theaters, I think, right now, and I know it's not going to... It won't land within 1,000 miles of West Virginia. Monica.
And what is that?
Monica.
Oh, the movie you were telling me about this morning or this afternoon?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of movies. Speaking of movies, you know, movie theater chains have been struggling since the pandemic, and they're slowly coming back. To almost pre-pandemic levels, because Pacific theaters, they're gone. Man theaters are gone, AMC theaters. What is your theater? What theater chain?
I think we're AMC.
All right. So we have out here. We have AMC and Regency, Cinemark, and there's another one, but. There's rumors, and because I love AMC theaters, I have the movie thing where you pay $25 a month, you can see up to 3 movies a week, not a month, a week, which I'm going to use every bit of it during the summer. There's rumors that Jeff Bezos is talking about buying, and I'm like, can he not mess with everything that I love? Can he just? But then again, if he doesn't buy it, then if they go kaput, then what? You know, because I don't particularly like the Regency theaters, and there's no Cinemark anywhere where I live, so it's like. Because, you know, if he buys AMC theaters, that gives him entree and the distribution thing for, you know, Amazon movies, which makes his movies eligible for, you know, Oscars. Woo-doo-woo, woo-doo-woo.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the Enchirito. So, speaking of things that are much more important. So apparently, remember, because you brought this up, because I had totally forgotten about the fact that the Enchirito came with olives.
Yes.
Did you guys have your olives out in West Virginia? Because I sure
did. Yeah, there were three ribby-ass little sliced black olives, yes.
Yeah, see, out here, we didn't get no olives. And I'm like, what the entire fuck? How come I ain't got no olives on my Enchirito? You know, so now I'm going to have to make sure I get olives on my Enchirito because it came with olives and saquin. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, a dollop of sour cream, a little dab will do you.
And they are stingy with it.
Yes! It's like, y'all are Pepsi Corporation. Y'all own everything. You can't tell me that you can't afford to put a little bit more sour cream on stuff. I mean, you figure Pepsi owns Taco Bell, KFC, Pizza Hut, Frito-Lay. Who else do they own? That's all I can think of right now. But come on. I think they got enough money in the coffers
to give us a little bit more sour cream.
Oh, that dairy is expensive to transport.
I live in California. Come on.
Well, they're not sending it by 20 mule team with the borax, Tracy.
Come on. We don't, you know, I mean, we're like damn near the, you know.
Across the burning sands of Death Valley.
Right. That part. So, okay, now back to politics and your boyfriend, Joe Manchin.
Shut up. He's going to get, it looks like he's probably going to get him a pipeline out of this debt ceiling deal.
A pipe? Oh, Jesus. See, this is, you know, they give all this money to the super rich, the cuts and the tax breaks, but then they're going to pause. What are they going to do with the student loans? They're going to make people start paying them.
It's on the way back.
And of course, you know, they're still messing around with taking $10,000 to $20,000 off of people's student loan debts and all that. And this whole thing, if people are getting any kind of aid, federal aid for food stamps or what have you, there's not going to be a work requirement?
Well, not anybody. No, they do a good job of resisting the work requirements. The maggots are still screaming for it. But if you're under 54 and you get SNAP benefits, they want to limit the total amount of time you can be on SNAP if you don't have any dependents.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some vicious fuckers.
It's their whole platform, and you know, I'm constantly repeating you, and I'm repeating, cocksuckers. I love it. So now I'm stuck behind on one of these narrow streets, and I'm stuck behind an Amazon truck. And you know, they couldn't do it in a way that I could go around them. It's just, ugh. Anyway, it's like the whole purpose, their whole entire platform. It's based on cruelty and just evil. It's just so did you see the cruelty and evil just it's not just in the red states, boys and girls. It's happening here too. There was a flag
flag burning in Cal. Yeah.
Was it an elementary school or a middle school?
Yeah, I want to think it was an elementary school.
Right, and not far from me in North Hollywood is about, I would say, 20 minutes, depending on traffic, southeast of me. And it's, northeast.
Well, they threw a story hour conniption at a library near you not long back, didn't they?
Right, right in Sherman Oaks where I used to live. And if I had known about it, I would have been there, not protesting, but, off lending my support. I didn't know about the story hour. And so, because, drag queens. So, y'all, just because I live in California don't mean that it's just, rainbows and glitter and boas and unicorns and all that other crap. It could be bad out here as well, but not to the level of what it is in the, at certain parts of the country, or in Uganda, where they have taken the draconian levels of punishment and
death.
They're doing in Uganda what everybody, in all the Taliban states wants to do, So they're like, wow, why can't we go ahead and kill us some of those gays and those transvestites and those,
all that because they don't deserve to live anyway. Maybe we should just all round them all up and ship them all off to Uganda. They know how to handle their days there, don't they now? But
I hear what you're doing there.
What did I do? What did I do? What are you talking about?
You did your voice.
Am I wrong?
No, I've come to no, not at all. In fact, since we're talking about things California, I've got a note here from Matt in San Francisco. And since you do Southern California, and Matt takes care of the Bay. Well, Matt in part takes care of the Bay Area. So does Cynthia, and so does Tom in sunny San Rafael.
All right, right.
But unseen right wing damage. Matt sent this to me earlier this afternoon. As you've probably heard on right-wing media, Lord, yes, San Francisco is a hellscape filled with human feces, dirty needles, and homeless people laying in wait to attack unsuspecting tourists. Probably God-fearing Republicans.
Oh, yeah.
Matt says, well, it's not. The city's created a $6 million advertising campaign to encourage people to come and visit and reinvigorate our tourism industry. I would love to help. So basically, we're spending $6 million to combat the relentless attacks from our dear brothers and sisters on right-wing media. Let me just lay out this situation for non-natives. The right recognizes a real threat in Gavin Newsom. He's a good-looking Democratic governor who is not afraid to take the fight to them. So if they disparage San Francisco, it's a win-win-win for them. They can get Nancy Pelosi, who by stepping aside has kind of unloaded that chamber, damage Newsom because he was once the mayor and is currently the governor. So if they can pre-soak everyone's mind to think of San Francisco as an unmitigated disaster, they can say that Newsom will turn all of America into the same hellscape, with the bonus of throwing in the gays and the trans folks as proof of the celebration of moral bankruptcy that is right over the horizon if these goddamn liberals are not stopped. I love the way Matt writes. And just as an editorial note, I used to listen to, not because I was one, I wasn't, but it used to be that I'd turn on the radio and the only thing I could get on, because I love talk radio, I love the medium of talk radio, okay? And back then, wow, was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
Asshole.
So back then I would turn on the radio and as often as not I would hear Savage. Yeah, the Michael Savage Show with the Savage Wiener. Me, Michael Savage. Broadcasting live from Sodom on San Francisco Bay. That's right, I'm in San Francisco. And he'd talk about all the wonderful restaurants he went to and how much this is a godforsaken place. And remember when we're talking about Michael the Savage Wiener, this is a guy who once sent a postcard to Allen Ginsberg saying that he would love to stick the lens of his Nikon camera up the posterior of Allen Ginsberg and take a picture. Because they were buddies. Okay?
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and you hear almost nothing from Michael Savage anymore because he's just not relevant. But nonetheless, I would hear, and the reason I'm saying all this is because Matt mentioned, you know, Gavin Newsom being mayor of San Francisco. And I remember how Gavin Newsom brought marriage equality to the Bay, to San Francisco. And that occasioned Michael the Savage Wiener to have an absolute purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy and kittens with crocheted tails. Yeah, Mike. Yeah, what would he say? Yeah, Gavin any Toosome Newsom who is destroying the moral fabric. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Any Toosome Newsom.
Yes. Mm. Oh, he thought he was so clever. And, I mean, it stuck with me, so. But to get that, so that's, yeah. That, and, you know, that goes all the way back to when Gavin Newsom was married to, oh, goodness me. She runs around with, Kimberly Gargoyle. She runs around with Trader Tot, Don Jr. now. She was dancing to Gloria in the party tent on January the 6th, 2021, and Annette was simply horrified. Who is that? Who is that cokehead? And because coked up people dance differently, Tracy.
Let's see. Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and interject my, you know, my racism right now. White people dance, it doesn't, they don't have to be on coke to dance horribly. So what?
Yeah, well, I invite you to a square dance. Let's see how you do.
Well, that's not fair.
Oh, no.
I'm not talking about, care
to get out the accordion and do a little polka for us?
Listen, I'm not talking about square dancing and line dancing. I'm just talking about dancing in general. When I broke off my engagement to my ex-fiance, my family was pissed because they're like, they were looking forward to the white people from Orange County dancing and just being able to laugh and point.
This is why we can't have nice things. Back to Matt. Matt says, I wish I could ignore them, meaning the right-wingers. But unfortunately, they're capitalizing on some real struggles we as a city are going through. Yes, we have a homeless issue, an issue that has plagued us since Reagan shut down the state mental hospitals. Drugs, mm-hmm. probably no more an issue than any other city, but with the homeless issue, it's on full public display. The pandemic has also really hurt our downtown area. Being a high-tech hub is a double-edged sword. At one time, it revived the city with tech companies filling up downtown buildings and making for a vibrant, lively vibe. Cut to tons of tech workers going remote, companies realizing they don't need to pay the overhead of office space, and you have the foot traffic dropping, feeder business, and retail closing, because without foot traffic, you simply can't continue to operate. So, yes, the struggle is real. Mm-hmm. We are at the bottom of a boom-bust cycle. Here in West Virginia, we know a little bit about boom and bust cycles, man. So in true right-wing fashion, they're not going to let a bad situation go by without making it worse in order for them to use it to their advantage. Heaven forbid they would roll up their sleeves and come up with creative ideas to address the situation. Leave that to the Democratic Party, the party that still believes that government exists in order to do collectively what we cannot do individually. Our saving grace is our creative and diverse citizenry, our Democratic majority. We will get through this. We will rise in spite of them. Oh, and don't forget to brace yourselves for Gavin Newsom. Of course, he's not liberal enough for some. But for me, I'll cast a presidential vote for the guy who started marrying gay folks before it was legal, setting up the case that prevailed and gave marriage equality to the entire nation. That's fucking leadership, bitch. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And if Gavin Newsom is out there in 2028, I'll very likely be behind him. Because I do like somebody who fights. And he fights, you know. If you've got the nerve to go into Texas and go into Florida and call out the fascists there to their faces, that means something. But Matt alludes to a larger issue, and the reason I wanted to bring this in our conversation is because it kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, because they scream about feces in the streets and they scream about feces in the streets and homeless people in Southern California too, because it's California. You never hear anybody talking about people, you know, needles and feces and in red states, but they're, by God, there. It just didn't get the coverage. But you talk about the pride flag burning at the elementary school in North Hollywood, the Sherman Oaks protest of a story time. I mean, it's like the parody of the Gadsden flag has become a reality. You know, don't read to me.
Okay. And I think especially the whole thing, you know, because now another retailer has caved. Target, where I don't buy my pride gear there until, like, you know, July, because that's when you get it all at a deeply discounted. I've gotten some really cool pride gear at Target for the last 4 or 5 years at least. And so now they're not going to be selling pride gear next month. And I'm just like, I am.
Oh, no, honey. They are.
What's the deal? All they did was, and I
wish they hadn't, but what they did is they removed some products from, in particular, one designer who had some other fashion designs that had nothing to do with Pride, but they had some pentagrams on them. They're a Satanist! But some other companies are showing the way. They tried to come after North Face, and like North Face was like, nah, fuck you. But the best thing, and I just want to wrap up this thought real quick before I go to the best thing. Y'all have the same kind of shit that happens in places like Florida and Alabama and Texas Stan, mm-hmm. et cetera. But you have a political majority cohesive and strong enough that you can shut that shit down.
Right. Because as Matt was talking about in San Francisco, okay, y'all, what does Miss Tracy do for a living? She has a fucking cab. Where do I primarily work? LAX. And invariably, whenever I... Girl, you should see the line at the Taco Bell because I think everybody knows about the Chirito. I'm sorry. I just... My ADD just kicked in. Sorry. But invariably, every time I pick somebody up that's here visiting from another state or another country, is it as bad as I said, you know what? It's no worse than any other city that you've lived in. We have the same issues as anybody else. And then I also bring up when people talk about the homeless situation, I'm like, well, that harkens back to the days of when old 666 himself was the governor of California, and he closed the mental health hospitals here in California. So, you know, let's go, you know, go dig him up and piss on his grave and then and set him on fire and all that other stuff because it was him that started it. And so when people start talking crap about my city, I start hitting them with facts. Because you don't want to come for me and you don't want to come for my city. You know, because I talk about, you know, when people talk about homeless people, I talk about that. And when people talk about the drugs, I bring up, you know, the crack epidemic and how, again, Reagan helped facilitate that crap. So don't start with me. And like you said, we have a supermajority. But then again, our supermajority, because, you know, Gavin Newsom, like we both said, is running for president in 2028. He has to start, you know, he has to be careful. Like we still don't, you know, there's no reason in California why we don't have universal health care. We have a supermajority. The only things Republicans can do in the state of California is piss and moan and do their thing in their red counties. But statewide, they can't do crap. Which is a lovely thing.
Yes, it actually is.
You know, because I sit and listen in shock and horror when I hear about the things that are going on in states like yours. You know, in y'all's legislature, and you know, I think I sent it to you. Now Texas is trying to pass, you know, defunding and DEI stuff, you know, programs in public universities in Texas. This is when Democrats should strike, and especially Black people, and, you know, and come out against, you know, especially we got a whole bunch of seniors graduating from high school this year going, you know, I mean, they've already accepted and stuff like that. But there should have been a strong-ass push, you know, commercials and all this saying, don't go to these schools where they don't respect our culture. You know, come here to California. Come here to New York. Come to Oregon. Come to, you know, fuck these states. But I don't know why we're not doing that. Am I wrong in saying that we should?
No, that should have been done.
That should have been done. That should have been done. Why go to a state where there is a travel in Florida? There is a travel advisory for Black folks not to go to the states. And don't be a queer.
Oh yeah,
Black
and Monkey Up DeKlantis came out and tried to come for the NAACP, and. You know, he's just not human.
No.
And lied and said no books have been banned in Florida. Bullshit.
It's like.
And ultimately, you hope his demagoguery will fail him.
I hope so. I mean, I just, these people, well, I use the term loose because, like you said, they're not human. How can you even consider yourself a human being when you pass legislation that, you know, all these people, well, I should have the right to.
Fascism doesn't care.
No. And I'm tired of it, sis. I'm tired of it. It just feels like we're constantly fighting an uphill battle. But, like, you know, like Matt in San Francisco, we can, because there are more of us than there are of them. You know, when you do these polls, when people, you know, when it talks about, you know, reproductive rights and, you know, LGBTQIA rights and all these things and teaching, you know, ethnic studies in school, people want that. But until we vote these people out, and y'all, you know, when the election comes, don't just vote in the national elections. And to me, you know what? They need to change, unless it's a special election. They should, you know, elections should be, you know, they should always coincide with the federal elections, because that way people are going to turn out to vote. I think it seems to me that they do these local elections to make sure that people don't vote. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, oh, I don't feel like, I just voted. I don't feel like voting anymore. But see, in California.
All wore out from voting.
Right. In California, there is no excuse. No excuse for not voting in California. You don't even have to leave your house. The ballot comes to you. You don't have, you know, and everybody in the state of California gets a ballot. You know, you no longer have to apply to, you know, vote by mail. And even if you did apply for a vote by mail, you didn't have to have a medical reason. You know, you didn't have to jump through hoops to get vote by mail. Because I've been voting by mail since I started, since 2008. Because of my schedule, and I never knew where I was going to be. And this is the beautiful thing. Now, with the in the state of California, LA County, and all the other, you don't even have to, you can vote at any, you can drop off your ballot at, you know, in the mail, in the yellow, the boxes that are usually in front of a park or a library. You don't even have to vote in your precinct. You hear me? So if you actually still want to go vote in person, there's just so many ways that you can vote now in California that you have to. Oh, speaking of voting, did you get a chance to read that article by Michael Harriet about the Democratic plantation?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, sis, you got to talk. Oh my God. You know, basically the article, you know, for those, Michael Harriet used to work, is an amazing black writer. He's been, first he used to write, he's the commentary for The Root. Now he's on The Griot. These are both black, websites, that talk about black culture, black politics.
He needs to be on a mainstream network.
Yes, he does.
He needs to be more broadly seen and heard.
Yes, he does. But so, I know y'all have heard of, you know,
they say that, you know, about black people who still vote Democrat, you know, vote for the Democratic Party. And the talking point is that you Negroes, you know, you need to get off the, you know, the Democratic Party plantation.
Well, and that's, you know, that's one of those things that Candio preaches. And I don't know, maybe Kanye, I don't know, but it's.
Well, I think he talks about Kanye and I don't even think.
I'm sorry, the artist known as The.
Right. Oh Jesus.
You know why he's known as The? Because he's the definite article.
I could have went my entire life. The entirety of my life without ever hearing that. Thank you, sis, for that. But, so the article does a comparison to, you know, it talks about, because it's not just people like Kanye West, but it's Candiolans and all these other people who, you know, these black conservatives, is, you know, so-called, not progressive, but black free.
Oh, wait. New term. You said black conservatives. They're not.
Mm-mm.
They're blight wingers. Is
love
that horrible?
Love it.
Or blashists.
Blashes, or wish they were white wingers.
Too much.
Okay. Because you know they all wish they were white.
Yes, and but see, understand, you know, if you're Candy O or any of those others, it's a good dollar. Any member of a marginalized community who becomes a bootlicker, gets paid.
And paid well.
I mean, that horrible little grifter, what's her name? Riley Grimes or something like that. She shows up on Fox all the time because she's mad because she tied with Leah Thomas for fifth in a swim meet.
Oh, yes.
I think she works alongside the worst tran in America, you know, Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner's group last weekend terrorized two trans girls in a track meet.
Yeah, you told me about that shit.
It was sickening. And they were joined by Protect Women's Athletics fascists. And ultimately, the girls did not go to the competition to which they had earned the right to compete. That should be illegal.
Right, that's terrorism.
It was. And then they went on TV and talked about how saving women's sports, you know, from a 15, 16-year-old girl. My state spent God only knows how much money because one trans girl was running cross country in high school. One. We're spending a bajillion dollars defending an indefensible piece of legislation that was a solution looking for a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But every marginalized group has its bootlickers, whether it's Candy O or Caitlin or, I mean...
Polly in the War.
Sure, yeah, or... what's his name? Your boy in L.A.
Oh, Jesse Lee.
Yeah, I haven't heard from Jesse Lee in a very
we
long
have,
time.
I
haven't heard from E-Dub. No, but we basically haven't heard from Jesse Lee since he got caught with a man in his mouth. Not saying.
Shit happens.
Yeah, we see you, Jesse Lee. You're valid.
We see you, girl. We see you.
Tom and Sunny San Rafael says, Matt and Tracy are exactly right. And hi, Kyle. Kyle settled down a little bit. And yeah, he hears me get worked. He's a wonderful kitty, and he hears me get worked up, and he gets worked up.
Mm-hmm. What?
He's grieving right now because his mama is not here. Because Annette's over. And probably jealous because he speaks English and he knows she's over there puppy and kitty cat sitting.
Ooh, bitch. Speaking of puppies.
I told her, you're going to come home and he's going to shit in your shoes.
Mm-hmm. We got Kimba's ashes back today.
Aww.
She's in a beautiful urn. And then we didn't know, but they took a paw print of her in plaster.
Aww.
You know, and I told, because Jan brought her back right before I got ready to leave for work. And I'm like, she's like, maybe I should have waited until you got home. I'm like, yeah, you think? And then there's a certificate with Kimba's name.
I said a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a certificate with Kimba's name showing, you know, saying about, you know, appreciation for being a wonderful pet and blah, 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 and stuff like that. But the urn is like an amber color. And it has her paw prints around the urn.
Poor baby.
Very good. Yeah, so. Fuck May. I hate this month.
Well, it's over today, mercifully.
Girl, this month, you know, from, you know, the carrying over from Jan losing her job and me not being able to go spend time with my son and because of everything and the oral surgery and the money that we spent on my car. I'm just...
running away from May.
It's just, you know, so I have now 2 months that I hate. May, because, I've cursed September since 9/11 because that's the year my father died, except, you know, 10 days after 9/11. And now we can add May to the mix. That part. So, hold on. Just every day. So yeah, that part, you know, but I'm, you know, again, thank you, Matt, for that, because of what you wrote, you know, about California, you know, because I'm holding the fort down here in sunny in LA, because I guarantee you, every time somebody gets in my cab, you know, the first thing they ask me is it safe? And I said, it's safe. What do you call safe? You know, you got to make sure that wherever you go, you pay attention. You know, you don't walk in places, you know, where you don't walk around at night by yourself and, you know, you keep hold of your, you know, you don't walk around the streets of L. Remember a few years back when it had all those snatch and grab robberies in Beverly Hills?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were snatching Rolexes and shit. And I'm like, motherfuckers, if you're a walking billboard of you know, affluence and, you know, and all that, you deserve to get jacked. It's like when I, you know, when Jan and I travel, I wear my wedding ring, and even that is suspect because it is a diamond. I have a, you know, diamond solitaire, but a lot of times I won't even wear earrings. You know, I don't draw it. It's like when I work, I don't even wear jewelry. Typically, I don't even wear jewelry when I'm working. Because, I don't know, I don't want to get jacked. You know, it's like, yes, you walking around with everything you own on your body, and you're wondering why, you know, you're about to get jacked. Well, you're being stupid. Stupid.
And yes, this, well, I should be able to do and wear whatever I want to wear. And yes, you should. Yes, you should be able to wear what you want to wear and all this other stuff without, you know, repercussions. But we no longer live, you know, in a society where, you know, you have to take precautions. And so why bring shit on you? I'm just saying. But then again, I grew up in South L.A. in the middle, during the, you know, at the height of the crack wars. So I have a, I'm hypervigilant about security. You know, like, yeah. When Jan and I first got, when we first moved to Encino, and I was constantly locking the doors and stuff, and she's like, who do you think is going to come in and snatch you? I said, it has nothing to do with that. It's like, just because we live, you know, in Encino doesn't mean shit can't happen. One of my biggest pet peeves is, you know, I love, I'm a true crime junkie. And I love these shows, you know, if I call, you know, on ID the channel, and I call it the Murder, Death, Kill channel, or White People Gone Wild, because it's usually all the shows are about white people, and a lot of them are about Mormons. Have you ever noticed that?
No.
Or do you, girl? If you watch, like this.
Uh-oh. Where'd you go? Yeah, hold on, Tracy. I know what happened. Oh, rants. Hold on.
But unfortunately,
all better.
It's usually about a black man killing a white girl. And I'm like, well, all the... Sis, I'm just thinking, and then, you know, with all this so-called black-on-black crime, sis, why aren't there more true crime stories about black-on-black crime? If it's happening so much, I just thought about that, you know, because, you know, y'all always, you know, there's always, and that's another, you know, white ring tool talking point is, you know, when we bring up about police brutality and, you know, and police killing, you know, unarmed black folks. And their retort is, well, what about black on black crime? Why don't you guys ever talk about that? And blah, 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 blah. And I said, miss me with that shit. But anywho, I forgot my train of thought. Fuck. Oh, well, but anyway, damn it, I had a point. Ugh. I hate getting older. This is the kind of shit that makes me crazy. But anyway, true crime, blah, blah, blah. There had to be a segue to something else. Oh, what was I talking about before? See, this is sad, sis. This is so...
Well, I lost you for a minute because for some reason or another, you got picked up on Bluetooth and over in the mansion bedroom.
Is that what that was?
Yes. I usually remember to turn it off. I didn't today. It's another thing to go on the list.
Well, it's not like you don't have a lot of other things on your plate, sis. You know, I mean, there's so many things. It's like I told Jen today. She said, well, what did you do today? And I'm like, stop. I said, why do you need to know? Because I bring up these things to her because she, you know, every so often her white privilege and bigotry slips out. And I'm like, you do realize that you're trying to police my time. Because I don't ask you, what did you do today? Because I don't care. It's not that I don't care what you did today, but you're a grown-ass woman. And I don't need to, you know, keep track of what you do. It's not my job. So when you ask me, you know, and I look, and then she gets mad when I say why. And like one day I said, Well, you know what? I just sat on my ass all day doing absolutely fucking nothing. And so now what?
Oh, I did. I did a little more reading on the flag burning at Satakoi Elementary School in North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're going to have Pride Day on June 2nd, and it's entirely mm-hmm. optional for every kid. You know, the kids who don't have bigots for parents will send their kids to school that day. The mm-hmm. kids who have bigots for parents, I guess, will keep them home.
Okay, bye, Felicia.
And one of the assholes in charge of the protest is a guy named George Javroyan.
We respect
Y-A-N
everyone.
Is it Y-A-N or I-A-N?
Y-A-N, yeah. D-Z-H-A-B-R-O-Y-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
We respect everyone, but some things are appropriate for children of that age, and some things are not. And they put out a bone-chilling flyer. This is Satakoi Elementary School has a large population of Armenian and Hispanic families, many of whom are Christian or share conservative values and don't feel this material is appropriate to teach to the children and believe it's a parent's right to choose. Love that phrase. We have a student population at Satakoi of about 500 students, got over 400 parent signatures petitioning this event. And then, nicely, though, I say take your kid. Somebody responded to their stupid Facebook post and said, I say take your kids out of the school completely. Go somewhere else. If people did this in protest to Armenian history genocide, you all would have a lot to say.
That part. Okay, I'm sorry. Was I yelling?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that part, sis. That part. Because like you said, if we did the same thing for Armenian genocide, if we protested or any of the Latin, celebrations that we do here in California.
Yeah.
There would be
these freaks are telling they're telling other parents, keep your children home and innocent on June 2nd. You know what the uninnocent part of it is? Because one of the stories has a line that says some children have two mommies, other children have two daddies. Because there are going to be readings from a perfectly innocuous book that's geared for 3 to 7 year olds called the Great Big Book of Families. Honest to Pete.
The Great Big Book of Families. So
videos will be shown to the students, including one where it says some kids have two mommies and some have two daddies. This has caused outrage among parents, many of them emailing and calling LAUSD higher-ups to complain about this day and protesting by not taking their children to school that day. So they're going to deprive their children of an education, or a portion mm-hmm. of their education. Mm-hmm.
And they're
just desperate little attention pigs.
These people. Okay, so back to the Enchirito.
Girl, you got it on the brain, don't you?
Well, now I'm getting ready. I'm on the app. Okay, so I've already ordered my Enchirito, and so now I got to decide what I'm going to get to drink, because I got to have a refreshing beverage to wash it down with.
Oh, get the mango brisk.
That girl, see. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they won't make a zero sugar mango brisk, and I'm pissed about it. But here we are.
Okay, because I've never had the mango, because I was thinking about the Dole lemonade strawberry squeeze, and then they have, like you said, the brisk mango fiesta.
Yes.
And then they have the brisk. Listen to this, and the brisk dragon paradise sparkling iced tea.
Dragon fruit is a giant con.
I know it is, but it sounds fun. It's a con. So we will be getting the mango Fiesta. Yes, the Mango Fiesta. And I made the Enchirito a Supreme because, of course, like we said, the original Enchirito had not only olives, but it had sour cream as well. But so if you want sour cream,
you have to add it.
You have to add it.
The trials and tribulations of 21st century life.
You know, I mean, this is, I mean, again, you know, I really need to stop being, but it's just, I'm just tired of the nickel and diming. I'm tired of every time, you know, we get a little bit of head or what have you. There's always a motherfucker with their hands out when they don't need a goddamn thing. Did they even charge for the tomato? You know, this, I'm just...
Oh, tomatoes, no, stop it right there. Tomatoes at Taco Bell are an abomination.
Right.
Those are those little pink baseballs. They're not even anything approaching. No. We're close enough to summer now that I've gone on a tomato boycott. I'm not going to eat a tomato until I know where it came from, and by that I mean where in my zip code.
Absolutely. But I'm very angry with the fact that they actually have the audacity to charge
extra for the sour cream.
The sour cream.
Got to keep the shareholders happy, honey.
Right. Don't get me. I had a conversation with a banker the other day about. I said, "Really, tell me this. How is it that laying off people is, you know?" Because I think the first time I heard, you know, because of people like you who make me pay attention to shit. And it's like, the first time I heard about when they, you know, get rid of people, their stock, you know, their stock prices go up. And I'm like, but that sounds like they're losing, that they're, you know, maybe going out of business. And then I think it was you who said, "Oh, no, sis, that means less overhead and more profit when they lay off people."
Ta-da.
It has nothing to... You know, and I'm like, "Oh, so you're keeping the shareholders happy."
Oh, I blew through McDonald's the other night. I'm sorry. The only thing I ever eat there is the filet of fish with extra tartar sauce. Shut up. I don't want to hear a word about it, or I'll tell you that I haven't put raisins in it too. See, two can play at this game. But I pulled up, and like the lights were out in the dining room and everything, and the people working were laughing, and it was a skeleton crew. But I was like, "You guys are having fun." And she goes, "Yeah, you'd be surprised how much fun it is to work at McDonald's when there's no people here."
it's like you said, especially I was like, "I'm getting paid, and there's nobody here." And nobody asking for extra tartar sauce? What?
Well, it's not as good as the tartar sauce I make, but it's as close as I'm going to get. And it just happens to also be very, very good on a McChicken, which is just about the cheapest thing on the menu.
Right.
Here's the trick to the McChicken. Get it without the damn lettuce.
Did I ever tell you about my, I have to.
Where'd you go now? There you are.
I was telling him I'm here to get my food.
You're at Taco Bell now? Okay.
Yes. I'm at Taco Bell. I'm getting, you know, I'm getting my food, and I'm very, very happy because I'm getting an Enchirito. Well, actually, two.
You're gonna make me go get one, aren't you?
Yes. Because, like you said,
Where's the closest Taco Hell to you? How far is it from you?
15 miles.
And how long does it take you to get 15? How long does it take you to get 15 miles?
20 minutes. It's an hour.
Believe it or not,
it's an hour round trip.
Believe it or not, I'm 15 because it's so funny on the side of.
Well, that's because you have to. Because that's because you have to take the 10 to the 405 to the 6 7/8.
Well, where I live in the valley, I think there's a thing because, like, where I live, there's, like, 3 or 4 Del Tacos, and I personally hate Del Taco, but the closest Taco Bell to me is, like, it's not far, but it's far-ish, and it's just annoying because, you know, it's not like I can get the food and eat it and... Oh, I can sort of bring it home, and it won't be cold, but it's not like, you know, right around the corner, like the Del Taco is and the In-N-Out Burger is.
See, here, no. Here's the thing. We have absolutely worn the Enchirito issue out tonight. But I'm going to say this. A long time ago, kids were little, we went to the beach. And the little ones, and okay. You know, I wasn't mean or anything, but the little ones said, "We want a hamburger." And I said, "We are at the beach. Ordering a hamburger at the beach is like going to Kansas City and ordering shrimp."
Right.
You live in the land of beautiful Latinx food.
Mm-hmm. And how the hell am I going to Taco Bell?
And I'm a little ashamed of you for going to Taco Hell. I mean, not judging or anything. I don't know why this thing keeps picking.
Like what I like.
I get it.
And, you know.
Everybody has preferences.
But fortunately for me, like you said, I live in a land of beautiful Latinx food. And I love the fact that I can go to, you know, drive down the street and there's either a taco truck or a taco stand, and all these wonderful places because of where I live, you know? So I am blessed with that. And it's very rare that I go to Taco Hell. You know, there's just certain things that you just want. You know, you want it when you want it. And when you see the thing about the Enchirito, you have no choice but to do what?
Get it.
Get the Enchirito.
That's why they put the news out. They created a market. It's simple supply and demand. It's Econ 101.
Mm-hmm. And so, as a result, I'm going to have me an Enchirito.
Oh, wait a minute. Time out. A minute ago, I said dragon fruit is a giant con.
Uh-oh.
Brother Deacon Asa, I am on the wrong side of Brother Deacon Asa tonight.
Uh-oh, who did you... You didn't piss off Brother Deacon Asa.
You're Hitler. You are Hitler.
Ooh.
I've seen dragon fruit. I've purchased dragon fruit. It has all the flavor of chewing on a wet paper towel.
Ooh, you didn't piss off Brother Deacon Asa. I felt you in trouble. Should I hang up the phone and no longer associate with
you? Wait. It just gets better. Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, fast food shaming. Let those among us who have never gone to the drive-thru throw the first hot sauce packet. First cowbell of the evening. Oh, God.
I mean, trust me, growing up, and even, if, you know, when I was a kid, Taco Bell, we didn't go to Taco Bell because we had really good, I mean, this is before, you know, we had, like, the taco trucks and all that other stuff, but we had all these hamburger stands in the ghetto that made ghetto tacos.
Something tells me I want to experience that.
You want to get, girl, when you come here, I got to make, I think that's how I hooked Jan. I'll never forget before we got together and she was still with her ex, they had Dobies, right? And these, you talk about pampered dogs.
they
oh, Dobies are such little sweethearts. No, big terrifying sweethearts.
Big terrifying fucking sweethearts. But these dogs, they would jam with boiled chicken breasts. And that would be their dinner. Well, their stove broke down. And so she came to my house so she can boil, so she can make the chicken breast. So she comes over and I'm making my ghetto tacos. Okay, so this is what my ghetto taco is, you know, it's nothing special. I mean, so I take, you know, the flour tortilla, not flour, but the corn tortilla and, you know, throw it in the pan with, and, you know, in the hot oil. And as it's, you know, I turn it over to get it soft. And as it's softening, I add the ground beef and the cheese inside the taco and fold it, you know, inside the taco, fold over the taco and fry it on both sides. And then once it's done, I add more cheese to the taco.
Of course.
And then I do, you know, tomatoes, Roma tomatoes and romaine lettuce. Not that fucking iceberg bullshit. That's a whole nother. What?
Dogma.
Iceberg lettuce
has its place.
It has its place as a wedge with blue cheese dressing, bacon crumbles, and whatever.
Now you're just getting. Stop it! You're getting dirty. By the way, Micah just wrote in from Michigan. And she said, bitch is making me want toxic hell. Quit it. I'm writing the marketing department at Yum Brands. Send me a check. You have no idea what this costs you.
Okay. Because the only thing, so that's my ghetto taco. And you have to have La Victoria taco sauce.
That's not bad.
You guys have La Victoria taco sauce out there?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll have you know, I have a bottle of tahine. The Classico regular sauce. I got a bottle of tahine right here in my hand, and I keep it back here for sipping sometimes.
You are so special.
I'm a weird bitch, I know.
And, you know, the things that you eat fascinate me.
Fascinating.
To no end. Fast. Okay, so remember we were having the
discussion. You're the black food Spock.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Speaking of Spock, this is so funny. Because, bitch, get out my head. So remember how earlier today we were talking about Columbo, our favorite Columbo villains?
Yes.
And we were talking about the ones that made more than one appearance. But we neglected our favorites that only made one appearance. And wouldn't you believe it, it was Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy, yes, was a Columbo villain desperately trying to escape Spock.
And he was so good.
He was evil as shit.
I mean, he was scary evil. I'm like, oh, shit. But he was so good. And so that one, and my favorite all-time Columbo, and she wasn't really a villain, but Ruth Gordon.
Oh, Ruth Gordon, of course.
You know, and so I guess that everybody that's listening, favorite Columbo villain, yes. My least favorite was what's her name, who was married to Alex Karras, that was on Webster. I hate it. It's like when they had the female killers, not so much, except for Ann Baxter. She was good, and Janet Leigh, and yeah. The other one's not so good. Who was calling me on his phone? But other than that, yeah. Do you have any other of your favorite Columbo villains? And since you have Peacock, sis, you could rewatch Columbo.
Oh, we do that every now and then. Okay, we have an update.
Uh-oh.
Matt in San Francisco, you and Miss Tracy, you two are to blame for me getting a Fiesta burrito and cheese quesadilla from you know where for lunch. May the hot sauce packet gods protect your souls. Oh, Matt, I'm so sorry.
And, I love you, Matt.
And you know, Taco Bell is part of Yum Brands, and of course, one of the flagships of Yum Brands is KFC, and we all know Colonel Sanders threw the first brick at Stonewall. Sorry. Matt has created a monster in me with that whole first brick at Stonewall thing that he started.
This is something that I missed. What is the first brick at Stonewall?
Every now and then I'll be doing something, and usually it involves some sort of protest, you know, bigot protesting. I don't hate anybody. Yeah. So, you know, everybody knows Ron DeSantis threw the first brick at Stonewall. Yeah. Second brick, third brick, fourth brick. We may have to start numbering the bricks. Well, you did it to me too. We're almost at the end of the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm going, don't you?
About fundraising?
No. Oh. You know where I am going. You know where I'm physically traveling, don't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Shut. You.
What? What, sis? What?
Just stop it. Stop being obtuse. And there it goes again. Damn.
I don't know. I have no idea to what you are referring to.
No, sure you don't. No, there's not going to be any red sauce, and I'll take my microscope with me so I can find the three little ribby slices of black olive.
Well, see, they don't even give us the option here of getting the black olives. They have fucked us out the black olives. They charge you for the sour cream.
And you still went there anyway.
Well, yeah, I did.
You know what? Repeat after me. I am powerless over Enchiritos, and my life has become unmanageable.
What you just said.
Oh, and one last thing, seriously, on the way out the door. It appears from chatter that's being followed on places like Telegram and whatnot by a woman named Samantha Kuttner. She follows these white nationalist, extremist, Nazi, you know, et cetera groups. And as usual, if you're going to Pride, be situationally aware.
I'm not going to Pride.
Because between Matt Walsh and, here they are, the Proud Boys, their boy is going up the river, but they're going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as they don't attack the Capitol. Maybe that's the break point. They've got plans for Pride, but now, based on the chatter that Samantha Kuttner is seeing, they're also going to try to disrupt Juneteenth celebrations.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I am queen of situational awareness because I have one of the most dangerous jobs in the world.
Well, the four most likely places in the United States for Proud Boys assault are by far and away, number one, Portland.
Really?
Yeah. The second most likely city is D.C. Since 2016 in Portland alone, there have been 39 separate Proud Boy rallies, you know, Bully Boy. Yeah. And then Miami and Sacramento are tied for third with 17 incidents since 2016. They'll probably have a presence in San Francisco and New York.
Well, I'm not going, because, you know, okay, when you get to a certain age, remember that I did that, get off my lawn, kid!
Yeah. But I just wanted to add one thing. Meanwhile, you know, these are the Proud Boys. This is the group that, what was her name? Daley Salinas was running with in Florida, who got the Hills We Climb banned from a section of the library of a high school in Miami-Dade County.
Yep.
By Amanda Gorman.
Mm-hmm.
The youth poet laureate of the United States. Who Daley Salinas said was actually Oprah Winfrey.
It was. First of all, her name is Daley Salinas.
Uh huh.
Daley.
D-A-I-L-L-Y.
Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to talk to her parents. She's angry because of her name. Let's be real. You know, if her name wasn't Daley, you know, could you imagine the teasing she gets on the Daley?
I think it may be, with a surname like Salinas, I assume it's some sort of Latinx.
Right, but you know, those are used probably the Latinx from Spain because, you know, they think they're better than a lot of people. Let me stop. But because though, I never forget, I was watching something. I think it was a Law and Order, and it was about these kids, you know, white kids at one of those proper schools where they basically trained the next generations of neo-Nazis. And these kids were being Nazis. And I think this is when Benjamin Bratt was still on the show. And one of the kids was, I think, from Argentina. And he's like, bruh, you know, but I'm Spanish. I've got pure white Spanish blood in me. I'm like, oh,
I got to tell you this. A note coming in from Micah. Fucking ordering now. Hate you. Hate you both.
Oh, man. I did. What was the dog on?
But Matt wrote in. Headline. Taco Bell marks 30% sales increase on Wednesday, 31 May. CEO baffled as to why. Details at 11.
Yeah, okay, we need our product placement dollars. Okay, if we just got a percent of the sales from the...
I just want to wet my beak.
I just want to wet my beak? Your fundraising woes would be fucking over.
Over, yes.
Over.
As it is, we're going to finish May in a $1,490 hole.
Let a sister wet her beak. We how many folks have just written in saying that they are on the fucking app right now?
Operators are standing by. We have a trivia update. Our buddy Mark in Florida, actress Susan Clark was actually married to Alex Karras for 32 years. However, she does continue to appreciate Enchiladas de Taco Bell Viva Che. Well, wait a minute. You don't get a Viva Che every day.
Viva Che? No!
You know, years ago I noticed that they sell Che Guevara undies. I confess, I'm strongly tempted.
Well, baby, if you're going to have somebody up on you know...
No, don't ruin the Enchiladas, honey. We just got them to buy them.
Oh, my God. Okay, first of all, Horn family, I apologize for me influencing y'all to go get, you know, I take full responsibility for what I did. I am so sorry as I'm sitting here enjoying. Well, I'm going to say no.
Ref going to come up and throw that flag and call taunting on you.
Yeah, okay, so I'm not sorry. Sorry, not
that's
sorry.
That is a one-incherito forfeiture, and I know you bought more than one.
No, I said I'm saving the other one, sis.
I know.
No, that's for later. Come on now. Oh, and by the way, remember how when they reintroduced it last year and we only had it for, what, a week or two? This time, they haven't set an end date. It's just for a limited time, but no set end date.
Yeah, until they run out of sliced black olives.
Well, you get the sliced black olives, bitch. We ain't getting no goddamn sliced black olives out here in California, eh, motherfuckers? See? And you say that you don't get nice things in West Virginia.
You know they're going to screw it up. Now shut up. And they are $3.79 a piece. My God, I remember when they were 75. I got to go.
Okay. Hey, by the way, Robin needs money, y'all. Please, 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 please send her money so she can, you know, order, you know, the $4 enchilada without going, God damn it.
Thank you, Tracy. You have a good night.
I love you. Bye.
I love you. Bye. Dear God, how about that? Had good content. And you know you want one, because I know I do. Thanks, everybody. Really, seriously, thank you. Thanks to all our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. I did the Patreon thank you yesterday. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. That's an anonymous individual and Ralphs this evening. Again, we close the month down almost 5 full days, almost an entire broadcast week. It's going to be rough. But thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Oh, okay, there we are. Matt, Brother Deacon Asa, Matt's not alone. You mofos are making a Brother Deacon crave that overpriced cat food something fierce. Don't get Kyle started. Shut up. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a comment. It's really beginning to help. Numbers are ticking, trending upward. We're not at Pink Shrek numbers, but I don't think we ever will be. But, God, the fact that, well, never mind. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Not sure who wandered by in the chat room. Let me take a quick peep and see if... Yep. There was Steve, Brother Bishop Steve. Soup. And thank you to Roger in Oregon. Goodness me, what an evening. The program note. Hope y'all are still around. No program tomorrow. I have to be in Charleston. I really have to be in Charleston for this one. It's an American Civil Liberties Union thing. And I'm trying to represent. Trying to walk the walk and talk the talk. I talk the talk. The walking the walk part is a little bit more of a challenge. I hope my sisters and brothers and non-binary siblings were okay who showed up to protest Dave Chappelle. I'm sorry I wasn't there. I felt like I really let him down. I just couldn't help thinking about how many people, you know, he's playing Charleston, I guess, right now. And I wonder how many jokes he's made at the expense of trans women at this point. And I wonder how many people have sat in those seats and guffawed. I wonder how many of those are people that I call my friends. I don't know. It would be great if that number was zero. But I'm out of here. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you,
Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster if you're eligible. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots. They're a disease-bearing lot. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And if somebody comes, some bottle blonde comes burbling at you down the sidewalk talking about, "Well, I'm eating a shit sandwich now, but I'm a dessert girl," avoid her like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.